Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome today. This is Susan Puzio. Welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast. Today, our guest will be James Sundquist, and we will be discussing the Assembly of God Church Gone Wild and why are they suing their pastors and padlocking churches. So, we will be talking about that. And I wanted to let you know about our website, propheticnews.com. Also, we have a YouTube channel, and the name of the channel is Jonah T for Tom 48. We have a few great videos there. And we like to expose the darkness. We like to expose false teachers. And I want to especially give an award this week. I'm bringing back my Pimp of the Week award because I saw so much pimpery this last week. Telethon week. Oh my. It was Telethon week on Daystar. It was Telethon week on the TCT network. Oh, they had all kinds of ways to get you to give them money. And one of my special favorites this past week was Rod Parsley. And Rod, you should be ashamed of yourself. Honest, Rod, one time you really knew God, but I don't know what happened. Fame and fortune, I guess, destroyed you. But Rod actually was telling people this week that if they sent in an offering to the Daystar Network that they were going to buy a one-year insurance policy with God, and that was going to protect you. My goodness, I didn't know. I never saw that in my Bible. I never saw that you could actually buy an insurance policy from God Almighty. Now, isn't that something? I said, the Bible talks about being deceived. It talks about taking advantage of the simple. And if you look at 2 Peter 2, the Word of God says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." And that's what I saw all week long, one after the other, professional preachers, and some of them look like and act like used car salesmen, really. And they have every kind of gimmick to get you to give so that they could get richer, and they're laughing all the way to the bank. But it's really a disgrace, and it brings a reproach to the precious name of Jesus. And we want it to stop. In the words of my brother TJ from Church Folk Revolution, it's time for a revolution. Amen. And enough is enough. So we aim to expose false prophets. We want to see them either repent or just go away, get another job, do something else, but quit bringing a reproach to the gospel. So I want to let you know that the chat room is open today, and we will be monitoring your chats there. Also, this is a live call-in show, so if you would like to call in and ask a question of my guest, the call-in number is 914-338-1638. And I'm going to bring my guest on, my guest, James Sundquist. Hello. Hello. Hello, James.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I wanted to put you on speaker to see if I can have hands free in case I need to click something to read.
Yes.
If I lose you, I'll try you again.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to set up the Skype. I ran a test, and I couldn't get it to work, so I don't know what happened with that, but I will learn how to use my Skype. And
a little bit short notice. I appreciate
it. Yeah.
This is going to be good quality.
I need to learn how to use it, but I was using the, they do provide instructions, Blog Talk Radio does, but for some reason I couldn't get the call to connect, so I said, well, I better not, just in case we couldn't get our show to go live today. But anyway, welcome, James. Good to hear your voice again.
I'm so excited to be on your show, more than almost anybody that I am on the radio with. I hope we have the same fire we had going last time.
Oh, amen. I'm sure we will. I thought it was interesting last night. Actually, a friend of mine called me yesterday to tell me that Francis and Jimmy Swaggart now have a channel on DirecTV, broadcasting almost 24 hours a day. They have their own channel. And Francis brought on Sarah Leslie, and they were talking about exposing Rick Warren.
Well, Sarah Leslie is top shelf. I'm glad they had her. She's done extensive research as her husband on psychometrics and this whole nightmare of measuring spirituality.
Yeah.
And so they've got some of the best work out there. So she had a great guest by having Sarah on. I commend her for that.
Yes, I was really surprised because I thought it was a bold thing to do, was to expose Rick Warren on television.
Well,
because usually you don't see that.
Radio and stuff, but it's very, what you see on even on Fox News, the supposed conservative channel owned by a porn king, Rupert Murdoch, as is the publisher of Rick Warren's Zondervan. When they do the so-called news on Fox News, you basically just see an infomercial for Rick Warren. You get questions that are posed to him. There's no real journalism there. They're softball questions. You never get an opposing view. I've never yet seen a victim interviewed on Fox News on any of their programs of purpose-driven, any of the resistors that have been removed. and it is becoming, you know, what I wrote about, the concerns I had in my first book, there are some certainly major issues, but since then it's just almost a complete free fall into apostasy. It's become so bad.
Yeah. They were talking about the health plan that he's initiated,
mm-hmm.
and they spent, it was 2 hours that they had Sarah Leslie on via telephone, and I thought that was a great friend for Francis Swaggart to have.
Yes. Well, Jennifer has a website in California.
Oh, yeah, they talked about her.
Yes, well, I'm so glad because, and we've gotten to know each other by internet and by phone, and she is so humble and kind and gracious, but she doesn't pretend to be a scholar, although I think she has some of the most brilliant writing I've ever seen. Insights, just top shelf, again, and she was on Dr. Stan's radio program, Stanley Monti.
Yeah.
She did a wonderful job on that. But she doesn't pretend that she's a talk show kind of a person. And that's all right, because her writing's great, and I thought she did a great job on the show when she was on Dr. Stanley Monti's show. But she has extended family within, right in the bowels of Saddleback's church. So she knows firsthand what's going on the inner circles.
Maybe the listeners don't know who Jennifer is. Would you just briefly explain to them?
Well, she has, Ponderings? Drew a blank on, she's got a website. And she's in California, and she's not a member, but she has attended a number of times. She has a website called Ponderings from Patmos, P-A-T-M-O-S, as in, of course,
okay,
the Book of Revelation where John had his visions. And you can just go to Google and type in Ponderings from Patmos, and her website will come up. And she has the latest writings and observations, but she went in there firsthand and just journaled virtually everything that was going on, and so she was a firsthand witness to the Rick Warren's health conference. And Dare to Be Daniel kind of deal, where Rick Warren compares his health program to what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible in chapter 1 of Daniel. But you couldn't more massacre the true meaning of the chapter 1 of Daniel than what he did. And then later on, Rick Warren came out when people tried to confront him about bringing on a Muslim doctor, Dr. Oz, to give surrender his pulpit to a Muslim is bad enough, but this Dr. Oz then goes on to want to hypnotize all of America. And I kind of jokingly, it's really not a joke, but I responded with, well, Rick Warren for 10 years has already hypnotized tens of thousands of pastors and churches.
Yes.
So there's nothing new there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, real hypnotism from a real doctor, and then Rick Warren, instead of repenting, he came back firing back at how dare anybody think there's a problem with meditation, and mocked anybody that had a concern about meditation. And back to the first chapter of Daniel, the other issue is that if you will note upon rereading it, these people that would not eat the king's food actually gained weight. So this health program was in part designed for everybody to lose weight. And so what do you say, Susan?
Wow. Yeah, what do you say? Well, I was very happy to hear Sarah Leslie, because I'm a fan of hers also and her writings, and so I was glad to hear that she was given such a wide audience on television, because you usually don't hear anything like that on TV. Most of the other so-called Christian television channels don't ever have an opposing view. They usually just have one view. And I never heard anybody talking about Rick Warren and the dangers of the purpose-driven life and the books and then this new health plan. So I was glad that they were getting the message out, and I thought you would be happy to hear that.
Yeah,
I hope that they have you as a guest sometime. That would be nice.
Well, I've been on her radio show, Frances Swagger's radio show, a few times.
Uh-huh.
So already.
Then she knows about your book.
Yeah, way back when my book came out, it must be several years now since I've been on her show.
Yeah.
But I was on as soon as Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church book came out.
Oh, good.
And so I'm glad to, you know, there's not very many, shall I say, large ministries. You maybe can count on one hand or one foot, unless you're one of the characters in the Bible who has six toes on each foot and six fingers on each hand. Then you could count far. You could count to, what is it, 11 times 4, 44, right? So her presence there is really, really important, because when Jennifer attended, it's easy to, people could argue, well, you distorted it, you weren't there.
Yeah.
That accusation before, were you there? And I said, well, I've never been there to confront the Pope personally, although I was in Rome during my break. Had a vacation during the army, a leave in 1970, and I visited the Vatican. And it's just miles and miles of gold that they
riches. Yes,
virtually plundered from all of those poor saints. And
well, it's just a repeat of what we're seeing now. They built St. Peter's by selling indulgences, so we're seeing many of the so-called great ministries of today being built the same way, with the seed faith, and it's the same old religious con. But they were expert. The Catholic Church was expert at fundraising.
And they still, you know, we went into this Catholic church. I'm not sure why I was in there, but they had these places where you could pray to the dead at the back of the sanctuary, all these candles and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can still, Bernie Madoff, he's got nothing on these guys.
I'm telling you, really. Really, but I think in the future, I think we're going to see some of this where they are actually going to be charged with Ponzi schemes and fraud, because that's what they're doing. And eventually it's going to catch up to them if they don't repent, because God is not mocked. And so whatever you sow, if you sow to the flesh, then you're going to reap corruption. But anyway...
And another point not to forget on that Rick Warren conference is it's not the health conference per se. It is more what that Rick Warren is scheduled, according to the Orange County Register, to give Tony Blair his Global Peace Plan Award. He's having that Global Peace Conference the first week of March. That's coming up.
Wow.
And you got to ask yourself, I have a picture, I've been sending it out on an email, that shows Tony Blair hugging Gaddafi. And Rick Warren's giving a global peace plan to a new ager. This is where Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He was supposedly recently converted to Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He's a 33rd degree Mason.
Oh.
And then I got an email from an account where that he conducted this pagan ceremony. So you can't merge Christianity with paganism. That's the ultimate syncretism of apostasy, if you would.
Really? Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Is that the best candidate you could come up with to give a global peace plan to? So is Gaddafi going to get the prize the next time? I don't know.
It's unbelievable. Well, they were trying to make Tony Blair the president of the European Union. You know, that could happen. That could happen. Hasn't happened yet, but.
And then what kind of a prize will he get then? The Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah.
You really get me going, Susan. I know what it is about you, or it could be the tea I'm drinking right now. But
well, I spent many days over in the UK, and I noticed, though, that in Europe especially, things seemed to happen there first. The churches were emptying out, and then the churches started going New Age in a big way, and I saw all kinds of things there. And it wasn't a matter of time, really, before we'd start seeing it over here. I thought it was so interesting, too, this article you wrote about the Assemblies of God, and I called the program today Assemblies of God Gone Wild. And if you would explain a little bit of the history of the Assemblies of God and then this recent Supreme Court decision where they actually padlocked the church and were suing the pastor.
Well, I have a video of it that was on CBS.
Oh.
Of,
and where can they see the video?
Well, it was up publicly on the CBS News. You could just go to their website.
Wow.
But they,
great.
They got a new server or something, and so they took it down and didn't get it back up again, and so I asked permission to be able to post it, and they said they couldn't give that to me, but I have it available, and on a one-to-one basis, if someone requests it, I can send it. I have it in my email that's still there, and I just forward that to for anybody that wants to see. There's actually a note on hanging on the iron gate in front of the Crossway Church in the Bronx.
Oh, the Crossway Church is an Assembly of God church?
Yes. And they have there's a note hanging on the gate from the general superintendent, the district superintendent of New York State, Dwayne Durst, to the congregation, and it shows them CBS news crew was there out on the sidewalk filming the people holding, singing praises to God and holding their church service out on the sidewalk in front.
Why were they holding the church on the sidewalk?
Because Dwayne Durst, one of the Assemblies of God leaders, arranged to have the police are the ones that come and actually physically do it, put a padlock on the gate so they couldn't get into their own church.
Wow.
And they have a nasty habit of seizing churches all over the country. In fact, Dwayne Durst told a recent church that they tried to seize in upstate New York. They tried to seize their church property and bank account, but they fought back, and the Assemblies of God headquarters, including George Wood, who's the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God for the whole country, sued this little local church in upstate New York to try to seize their property. So it went before the Supreme Court in New York State, and this local church won. And I wrote all about it.
What were they suing them about? What was it all about?
I know you're asking that question rhetorically, Susan, because
yes.
Is it always about greed and power?
yeah.
It's like Willie Horton, when they ask him why he robbed banks, and his response is, because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
That was also, I think, in New York State, as I recall, but I could be wrong about the state, but it was the Northeast at least.
Yeah, but what is the whole thing behind this? Why did they pick on this church?
I think it was partly personal for Duane Durst because he was a pastor of this church in upstate New York. But there's a lot of reasons that are used. Ostensibly, Jeffrey Whitaker, who was former Assemblies of God pastor, and there's a number of them that got decredentialed. And if they make any trouble, they teach these people. They're trained, the whole Assemblies of God, about respecting your elders and to never cross them, and don't touch God's anointed, and on and on.
Yeah.
And so if anybody causes any commotion at all, they're targeted, and then if you're a pastor, they want you to go get psychotherapy and
if you question anything, yeah, it sounds like the gulag.
And if you don't agree to the psychotherapy, and in one case they wanted them to take lie detecting tests, but that's another whole aspect of the story of the Crossway Church in New York City.
They wanted them to take a lie detector test. Why?
Well, it turns out this one guy that they Mark Gregory, he's been in the Assemblies of God for like a quarter of a century, pastor. And they want you to take this psychometric testing and see a psychotherapist and get mental health counseling, and they assume that you're guilty before you've done any kind of testing to find out whether or not you'd even need to see such a counselor.
Yeah, but why are they doing that? Why do they even want a pastor to take psychological testing?
Well, because they feel like they could substantiate their case that the reason that the local church is unstable and needs to have the district come in and help them it's ostensibly to come in and help them get back on their feet. But what happens is after they've destabilized the local church, they think they have grounds in order to take the church over in order to save the people, save the church, save the reputation of Christ, right? So they have to have some kind of a plausible deniability about what is the reason they seize their church assets, their property, and their bank account.
Well, how did they get involved with this church in the first place? What's the backstory as far as why did they pick on this church? What was this church doing that they took notice and decided that the pastor needed mental health help?
Well, in the case of the New York church, I have posted on it an article about on our website, which is perfectpeaceplan.com, just so your listeners will know.
Okay, put it in the chat room, perfectpeaceplan.com, okay?
Yes, so you can go there, and there was some meetings that the local church was fearful that their church might be seized, the property and the bank account, et cetera. And So they had these meetings, and so that how that the headquarters used these meetings was, well, you're trying to go against us, and so we're going to exercise a little church discipline on you. And so they said because, and in part, they're in rebellion. Of course, I'm oversimplifying the story because it's we could go on. There's documents that go on for hundreds of pages, the more of the detail. So I'm kind of condensing a little bit.
Yeah, but what in the condensed form, what did the pastor do to make them take notice to try to close down their church? What did
he do? Well, it wasn't just about the pastor. The district thought that they were going to try to sever from the Assemblies of God.
Oh, okay.
And they actually thought,
do they actually own that church building or that property, or who owns it?
The local church, how it works, and it's not just their denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance works this way too. In fact, we'll get back to where Assemblies of God came from. The history, you asked about that earlier. Don't forget to ask me that again.
Yeah.
Now, what were we just talking about? I lost it. Sorry, Susan.
Who owns the church property?
Oh, okay.
The congregation, who bought it? Who raised the money to get the property?
The church is responsible for basically... They take the heat, the responsibility for signing their own mortgage, and that they have what they call a reversion clause that if they ever decide not to be Assemblies of God anymore, that the district gets their property. But the bottom line is that it's much more palatable to the headquarters if they can get a church when the mortgage is paid off. But keep in mind, the local people are making the mortgage payments, and they hold the bag, so to speak, for the responsibility of paying off the mortgage. Well, this mortgage was completely paid off by the local church, as was the one in upstate New York, and they both had a few hundred thousand or more dollars in their bank accounts, which they tried to seize as well. And so in the meeting in the upstate New York church, that they tried to take, the Supreme Court ruled against them, and so they say the local church gets to keep their property and their bank account, and it's still
so that the headquarters, the New York superintendent, went and sued this local pastor, Assembly of God pastor, to try to seize his property.
Yes, and in the case of the upstate New York church versus the cross, I mean, George Wood was involved in the whole process of what happened in the New York.
Well, he would have to be because he's the head guy.
Right, but he was his name was actually on the lawsuit with when they sued this little local church in upstate New York.
Doesn't the Bible, isn't there something in the Bible about suing your brother?
Well, you got to understand that if you're in a denomination where it's called the First Church of Disposable
the Bible.
If the scripture is useful for us, we will use it. If it works against us, then it doesn't apply to us.
That's what it sounds like. So this little church or this church, these two churches, they never went and filed a lawsuit, right?
The second law church is they've recently responded with their own suit to get.
Well, they had to fight back, right?
Yes. Now, that scripture about not suing your brother, I think there's a distinction when it's a local, when it's a personal offense, versus if you are a steward of a public trust property or a bank, or like imagine a police officer. if you use that scripture about don't, if somebody comes and takes your wants to mug you for your coat, or
yeah,
give them your jacket, right, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Well, plug that into a mugger coming and asking for the police officer's nightstick, and the nightstick, the police officer is a, turns out, say he's a Christian. He said, well, I have to follow Jesus' command in Matthew, and if he asks for my nightstick, I also need to give him my gun, too. You would think that police officer could not be more reprobate and needs to be removed, if not imprisoned, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a public trust issue. He's a peace officer to maintain the peace of the community. So he has a stewardship. It's not a personal ethic with him about how he feels about the mugger. The same with church property. You have people that are locally, are stewards, God's stewards of that property.
Right.
That have to protect them from the wolves, et cetera. And so they need to do what they need to do in order to defend their own sheep. So I think in that case, and even Matthew Henry's commentary on that biblical passage about suing your brother, that does not say this, it's an absolute scripture that applies in every situation, that it's really teaching a personal ethic in that passage. And if all that would have to happen is if you know, a doctor, for example, was a Christian, and he totally, you know, got drunk, and he did surgery on your daughter, and your daughter died, or they got poisoned, or something horrifically happened, and so, and then you got all these medical expenses that piled up because of it. Well, one could argue, well, I'm never going to do anything because, after all, the doctor was a Christian, and I'm never going to sue the doctor for what happened to my daughter.
Well, what I meant was, as far as the Assembly of God hierarchy, what business did they have going to sue these churches?
Well, arguing from their perspective, they have all kinds of formulas, like for church growth, and if you've got to meet these standards, and if and they have a lot of churches that if they need money to finance these various ventures, and they get just unbelievably staggering salaries, these district directors and the
general, do they have to give a portion? These local churches have to give a portion of their income to the superintendents?
Yes, in fact, they are required to tithe the local church to the district, and then, of course, the district gives to the headquarters. It's set up kind of like the mafia. The Godfather doesn't get a lot of money because he's an benevolent king and has all this gold that he hands out to the peasants. They get rich because the money flows uphill. See, so
yeah,
they require this money to come up because they would have no power or no money if it weren't for all of these local churches.
The local churches, and there's thousands of Assembly of God churches. For people that don't know about the Assemblies of God, there's thousands. It's a Pentecostal denomination.
It's one of the largest in the world. It's quite global, and it isn't that old as many people think. It doesn't go back as early as like the conservative Baptist or the Southern Baptist. Christian Missionary Alliance, most Assembly of God churches were actually Christian Missionary Alliance churches in that denomination, which is that came from a Swedish missionary kind of venture idea that became churches throughout the world. And why they had a big split is because a number of the people in these various Christian Missionary Alliance decided that they wanted to go with the gifts of the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
more conservative Christian Missionary Alliance, which is more like Baptist, believing in cessationists, that all the gifts had passed away, miraculous gifts. And so it caused a major split.
So they formed
their own church denomination, but in the process of doing that, they wanted to take their church property and bank account. And so but there were just tons of them that left with their property and bank account. But Christian Missionary Alliance headquarters decided that, wait a minute, we got to stop the bleeding. So they instituted what they called a reversion or reversionary clause, meaning if any of the Christian Missionary Alliance churches decide they're not going to be Christian Missionary Alliance anymore, meaning they're going to become a charismatic or whatever else they're going to become, they have got to surrender their property and assets to the district or headquarters of the denomination.
Yeah.
And the Assemblies of God denomination, when it became a denomination, when they had enough of them, and this was back in the early part of the last century, so it's not really, really that ancient. It was like the early 1900s, you see. The whole charismatic movement is, as you know, quite recent by comparison to the...
Yeah, by comparison. But some of the famous Assembly of God pastors were Kenneth Hagin. Was William Branham, he might have been in the Assemblies.
I can't remember if he was. I know that the Reverend Cho, the famous South Korean, is somewhere.
Oh.
Or it's Benny Hinn.
Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, they were all with the Assemblies of God at one time.
Yes.
Getting back to this whole lawsuit, what happened then when the church was padlocked? What happened? How did the people react, the people that attended this church?
Well, they wanted to stay with the pastor, and they continued to keep their own church, but they were not able to keep their building. Now, in the case of the upstate New York church, they, of course,
what
were...
What was the name of that church in upstate New York?
I'm sorry?
What was the name of the church in upstate New York?
Okay, well, just a second. I'll tell you the name. Just remind me of that a second while I pull that up.
Okay.
Sorry about the delay on that. More recently, the California Church, the First Assembly of God in Fresno, California, the Assemblies of God, they actually own banks and things, and they just went...
Oh, yeah, I saw that in your article. James has an article. It's about a 27-page article about this whole issue, if you'd like to read it. But I saw that, yes, they have a financial department with 60,000 paid members, and they sell insurance and IRAs.
Well, here's the problem about the bank, the Christians owning the bank that you borrow from. It's kind of like borrowing from your father, who wants to, say, help you out with your life, your work, your ministry, or whatever venture you want to become a fence maker or something. And so your father owns you, wants to help you out, and he loans you, say, $100,000 to get going, but he's going to charge you interest. But the fence building business doesn't go too well over time. And you keep having meetings with your father, and he keeps asking where's his interest payment. And after a while, things get more and more sour. The relationship gets a little dicier and dicier with the father, right?
The Assembly of God Financial Services.
Yes, and which is headed up by Thomas Trask, by the way. He was the former general superintendent.
Yeah.
And if
oh.
you know more about all of the corruption and the destruction of the brothers, talk to Ray Barnett, who is a former pastor who actually confronted him years ago. And
okay.
Ray Barnett has a website, Time for Truth. If you want to find out the history, so you couldn't have a worse scoundrel heading up that organization than Thomas Trask.
Oh.
And so Time for Truth is the name of, and you can ask Jeffrey Whitaker, who used to be Assemblies of God pastor, about him. There's a, you can type his name in Google, and if you want to just see like a rap sheet, if you want to call it that, technically isn't a rap sheet, but if you, but Time for Truth, Ray Barnett, and you can get all you want to read about what he's done over the years to people.
Yeah.
And so anyway, back on this little parable about loaning money to the father, or the father loaning money to the son for your fence building thing, and then the fence thing, whole industry either goes bad, people aren't building fences, or they're just his particular fencing, he didn't have all the skills he needed to be a good fence maker. But the father still says, we still owe me the money, still owe me the interest. So time goes by, and then he says, okay, I'm going to foreclose on your fencing business. Now, when a bank forecloses, they're independent. But when your family, your father does that to you, you're left with not only a sour relationship. So the best thing to do with the father would be say, look, I'm going to give you the money, and if it works out, I pray that it does. If it doesn't, you don't owe it to me.
Now, right.
The God headquarters, what they could have done is gone in, talked to this local Fresno church, and said, look, you're not making it. You can't pay for make the mortgage payments, so we're going to have to sell the property. And here's what we'll do. We'll sell the property and get what we can off of it. We'll try to help set you up with another church.
And set you up with another church. Yeah, well, that would be the right thing to do, yeah.
That sounds
like Christianity that way, yeah.
But you do have to ask yourself the question: is what in the world is a Christian denomination becoming banks for? Is that what a church is supposed to be?
No, but like you said, there's big money. They see the dollar signs. They no longer have pupils in their eyes. They have dollar signs.
And the other thing is, and it's in this Christian Missionary Alliance, too, when the church wants to get a property and get a mortgage to have a local church property, the headquarters and the Assemblies of God and the Christian Missionary Alliance actually force the church to get the loan through them.
So they're getting the interest.
Yeah, they can. So they're totally at their mercy, and they can't go out and bid to get a better deal. They're completely, and then and that also harks back to the counseling that this one pastor was supposed to get. I have a whole web division on my website that has a comparison chart. It's also my first book between psychotherapy and scripture. So I would not go to a mental health counselor, even if I'm guilty, because so what's going on? The Assemblies of God, they own. They sit on the board. Dwayne Durst sits on the board of one of the main mental health counseling places, and guess who they ask you to go to for counseling? Where they send you to?
Where?
To their own mental health counseling center that they already owned. So
sounds like a
conflict
of interest.
At all to you. And so it is, I don't know what to say, Susan.
This is amazing. You know, this is really amazing because goes to show you what's going to happen. It's all leading to this one world Antichrist system, because if you disagree with them in any way, then you're mentally ill, and they basically can take you if they want to and lock you up somewhere and just say you're crazy because you disagree with them. And I can see this happening.
Eventually they'll be locking us up for a lot of reasons, but right now they wouldn't lock up a pastor. What they do is they just threaten to take his credentials away if he doesn't get...
Yeah, in other words, he can't feed his kids anymore. He loses his job.
Yeah, and of course his reputation, you know, the Bible says about
sure.
the value of a good name.
Right.
And so their name is destroyed. Do you think they can get a job as a pastor anywhere else ever?
No.
They're blackballed. And these
right.
headquarters, they send out transmissions and warning, like Dwayne Durst did in the case of Mark Gregory in the New York, the Bronx. I got to make sure.
That church in New York State, Bethel.
Bethel is the one.
Assembly of God.
That's the upstate New York, not to be confused with the Crossway Church in...
And the one in upstate New York was Bethel Assembly.
Yes, that's the one that the New York Supreme Court slammed a judgment against George Wood and Dwayne Durst.
So they got to keep their building?
They got to keep their building and their property.
Okay. And they're still functioning as a church?
Yes, they are.
Very good.
And now it's not really totally over because the headquarters, you would
they're
think
appealing.
Just let them go, but they're going to fight them in the appeals court. They're not
yeah.
going to let them have that church.
Yeah, well, then how many millions of dollars are they spending on these lawsuits when they probably could have paid off the mortgage? Or you said the mortgage was already paid. How ridiculous.
And this money that is raised when the George Wood and Dwayne Durst decide to sue their brother, do you think that the attorneys that they retain, that they pay for, are available also to the local church? That these local churches pay through their tithes and stuff.
Sure, then they have to pay. They also have to hire attorneys, which is very expensive.
Right, and guess who pays
to fight
for
these lawsuits? Charity?
Do you think the Assemblies of God headquarters pays for the attorneys of the local church people now that have to fight in their fight of their life for their local property?
Terrible.
The local church sends money to help pay the salaries of the attorneys for George Wood and Dwayne Durst.
Yeah.
So
they still have to pay? They still have to send their tenth? Are they still an Assembly of God church, the Bethel Assembly?
They still presently are. I'm not sure about the Crossway Church, but Bethel is still. But from what I understand, that is... Meeny, tekel, uparshim, that the handwriting's on the wall. Not for long, as they say in the NFL when you get injured.
Yeah.
So a lot of the problem of staying with the Assembly of God is that they still are under the sway and the power of because the headquarters holds the credentialing power over pastors, who can be a pastor there, who they let come and be in their pulpit, the curriculum, the whole matriculation of their severance packages and salaries and everything.
Yeah.
And so that you could own your own property and have your own bank account, but you still are required to send the tenth on into the headquarters, and again, to help pay for the salaries of the attorneys that are suing you. How bizarre is that?
It's very bizarre. It's very, very bizarre. It makes me wonder, though, why anyone would even at this point want to be a member of the Assemblies of God. I think they should clean the place out.
You wouldn't believe how many think that God, because they're God's anointed, these leaders, that they just trust them, and they, yes, they will make mistakes, but they're just accountable to God then. They feel like there's not, once they drop the nickel in the offering plate, they're not under any requirement any further to have any stewardship whatsoever over how that money is spent. They just feel like when God took up the offering, just sucked it right up into heaven. And so in their thinking, it's just as though that's what happened. It goes right up to heaven.
Yeah.
And then how God spends it is up to God.
Oh, how God spends it. Yeah, sure. Oh, honest. It's just when you think you've heard everything.
This Bethel Church was told at their board meeting by Dwayne Durst, the superintendent of New York, don't feel bad. You're one of 22 we've targeted.
Oh.
So I wrote this in my press release. Are you next? Do you feel like if your church, do you think you should, wouldn't want to know if you're going to be the next church targeted before you sign a mortgage yourself or for your church before you send any more money in? Are you ready to have your money go to pay for the attorneys and the court costs of a lawsuit when they come after you? I just sent out 100-plus emails to all of the pastors in California saying that it's time to come and surround your brothers and sisters in Christ that had their church foreclosed upon, and that you can help them financially and prayerfully and aid them in whatever you can to help them find a church. Half of these emails that I sent out already bounced, which means anything I send them, they automatically obliterate. And they're remove me from being able to receive the truth.
Oh, yeah, blocking you, yeah.
Yeah, so
you have your article is called George Woods and Dwayne Durst Seizure of Another Local Church Report on Assembly of God Serial Bullies from the Pulpit. Now, if they want to find this article, if somebody wants to find it, how would they find your article?
Well, our main website, so they just get there, perfectpeaceplan.com, perfectpeaceplan.com. And once you go there, you click to articles, and the top one that you'll see is World Vision Betrays Israel. The next one is the article you referred to, Assemblies of God Serial Bullies from the Pulpit, and that has the actual court case. You can actually click through and see the actual court ruling by the Supreme Court against George Wood and Dwayne Durst. And then you read.
So they are appealing it.
Yes, and there's another denomination, Episcopal, down in Atlanta. They're in the fight of their life, where they don't call it a district; they call it a diocese down there, and the Episcopal Church, that are trying to seize their local property. And what's interesting about that story, Susan, is that this church goes back, unlike the Assemblies of God, this church does go back to the founding fathers of the American Revolution. It's that old. So they have a cemetery in their backyard of their church where all the people in the members of the church
the members are buried.
100 years are buried. And so when the headquarters seizes that local property, they're not only stealing their bank account and their church property, they're stealing their dead folks. Saturday Night Live could not have.
I'm telling you. That would be some skit. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's like, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of here.
Even so, the second article beyond that on our webpage is the abuse of the assemblies of justice by the assemblies of God. It's a separate, and it actually has three different articles, and there is Pastor Mark Gregory's letter to the New York headquarter credential holders, and the description of that case. And it's one of these gifts, if you could call it a gift, that keeps on giving. it is a gift that keeps on giving as long as you are those leaders.
Yes, exactly. As long as you're those leaders, which it sounds like they've long ago left their first love and turned aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is it's definitely not Christian behavior. But I think it's just a sign of the times. Most people just have to just clear out of these churches and run for your life, escape for your life at this point, because if they're not going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel, what's the use? If you have to be ruled by these leaders, it's like a pope or a cruel dictator. So it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But I think another interesting program, James, would be the topic that you discussed about World Vision Betrays Israel. I think that would be a great program, because it's an interesting topic right now, the whole issue of the State of Israel and what's going on. So that would be something I'd like to do in the future.
Great, let's do it. It's more relevant than even when I wrote it, because Egypt hasn't happened quite yet. And I got this just email from someone that was trying to, in the fight of their life, to try to stop this whole New Age thing coming in from George Fox University up in Greater Portland, Oregon, and they have this guy speak on there that was talking about the sacred land and everything, trying to give the land back to the Indians, and so
that would be interesting.
That's a whole other topic, but
topic I'd love to talk about, because that interests me extremely. You don't hear that much conversation about the American Indian.
Right. The only land, actual geography in the entire earth that was promised perpetually is the land of Israel. No other land, even our land.
Right.
An argument could be made. We have to give Texas back to Mexico, my friend, who's my webmaster, who lives in Texas, will be upset if I say that.
But
he would agree with me that it is a stronger, you can make a stronger case to give Texas back to Mexico than you can to give Israel to anybody.
Best to the Palestinians. But anyway, that would be a show I'd like to do, and I'll be in touch with you soon, because that's a real hot topic at the moment and something I'd like to know more about too. But anyway, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today. This show is not on live, but it is streaming, and it will be available these last few minutes to our listeners.
Well, I'm going to get in touch with a few people I told to call in.
I didn't
get
see
a
any
call
callers.
Or an email. What is it?
No, I didn't see any callers today. But the thing is, the show, when it still streams for the future, so if someone goes on Blog Talk Radio, they can listen to the whole thing. But the host, as far as our conversation, whatever we say while we're on the air goes over live. So even if you hang up, you're still being recorded.
I want to point out, I know you got to sign off unless you can chop this tape up. Is somebody else coming on right now, or
Well, it can be edited.
But I mean,
but
are we
still
cutting
now, whatever we're saying, people can hear because it's being recorded.
But I mean, the next is, you know, some, if it's on live, I know that they have to say a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 show is over because the next program's coming on.
No, they let you, this show is on my Blog Talk Radio channel, and so it just streams, even though it's not on the air now, so as far as people can't listen if they were listening live, but it's still recording so that whatever is said is recorded, and then when someone goes to the Blog Talk Radio website, Prophetic News, they'll listen to the whole thing.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I should point, we talked mainly on the Assemblies of God, but I should point out that the, I wanted to explain that what happened with the Assemblies of God is that they went for a long time, they did not institute this reversionary clause because they were the beneficiaries of being able to take their property and their assets to start their new denomination and keep their property. But as time went along, Assemblies of God, either the headquarters needed the money, so they're going to take the property, or the local church decided they wanted to just be on their own and separate for whatever reasons. The Assemblies of God decided, the headquarters, they're going to do the same thing that the CMA did to them, and they're going to institute the reversionary clauses, which what they have recently done. And so it's harder for them now to keep their property than it was before. So we don't know how this thing will turn out. But in the bottom line, and it isn't just the Assemblies of God. We picked on them today, but the Christian Missionary Alliance, I got a whole bunch of case studies where they've done the exact same thing. They took over a Chinese church in the Colorado Springs, right where their headquarters are, threw their Chinese translated Bibles into the dumpster, and they sold their church to a karate parlor. And
oh, no!
It goes on and on. They're all over the place. And you don't see these local churches of the other like if it's your, say, your Christian Missionary Alliance, and say you're in Indiana, and some the headquarters comes in and takes your church, do you see the other Christian Missionary Alliance in Indiana come and circling their wagons around the local church? No, they circle their wagons around the thieves. Instead of the victims, they circle their wagons around the thieves. It's just God help them.
I know. God help them. But it's greed gone wild, and the Bible warns us against riches and what happens to a rich man. It's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and we see it. It's not the way God set things up for other men to rule over each other. We're all equal in the body of Christ. And it's a strange world we live in, but the main thing is that we keep our eyes on Jesus and on his word, and we try to warn people. And we believe in exposing things and showing you what's going on so you can be prevented from being hurt, because I imagine that the people that are involved in this were hurt tremendously by the actions of people that they trusted.
Yeah, there's probably no greater wound than being betrayed.
Yes.
Yes.
Wounded in the house of my friends, and it's painful.
Yeah, were it my enemy, I could have taken it, but it was the one that I broke bread with. And there's a song
yes.
about.
Yes. Well, that's the worst, because we go to church for fellowship, and we trust the leadership. We trust that they know God and they know His Word and that they love us. And then when they betray us, it is very, very painful. But we never turn our back on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what any human being does to us. We stay close to the Lord.
And we fight against being bitter, but I think it's possible for one to get angry without being bitter, because there's right indignation, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think that, yeah. That's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. But the, of course, you can be angry. You get over it. And, yeah, that's the main thing, is not to become bitter, because you can't change the past. But
in the program, we can just say Jesus' own words, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Yes. Yes, amen.
I could do 10 hours of a radio show with you. I told Aaron Barr.
I know. We could talk forever.
What it is, when we're on, that you bring out the best or the worst in me, however you want to look at it.
Well, I think it's the best, because it's good information. And I that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that they know things that, I don't know, the things that you know. I haven't done this research, and this is important. It's important for people to know and to be aware of, so that they're not tricked and fooled by these people, because we don't want people to get hurt, especially when you're going to church and you're going for fellowship and to learn about the Lord and about His Word. And we also want people in the world to know that not everybody's like that. There are, God does have good people too, and people that really do care.
And I want to point out that there's a lot of noble saints, and hopefully there's some good still remaining.
Yeah, there's more of those. There's more of those
there. But we're to be we're not to put our head in the sand when just because it's a pastor.
No.
We have to be vigilant and sober-minded, and the word circumspect in the King James is a good word, because it means eyes all the way around your head.
Yeah, amen to that.
Front.
Yeah, where is that scripture?
Well, I have to tell you, if you give me 1 second.
Yeah, now that's a good scripture, eyes around your head. That's the one we're going to leave you with today, because there you go. If you have any questions about why we're talking about this, or listen to God's word, eyes around your head. So you need to see things and know things.
Exodus 23:13, in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect.
Okay.
And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. And if you look up the Greek for it, you can see it makes sense, because circum, you know, circle, go around,
right?
Circumference is what we talk when you go measure the whole all the way around the circle. That's the circumference. So if you're circumspect, then you're seeing your eyes all the way around, and you have to in this day and age, huh?
Yes, amen to that. So there you go, everybody, another wonderful program, and take heed to that word today. Go and study it, and be a faithful Berean. And James will be in touch, because I do so want to do that program about the state of Israel.
Super.
Wonderful.
That would be great, and we'll talk again. And I don't say this to very many places I've been on the radio, but I can't wait to be on your show again.
Yes, and I enjoy talking with you too. God bless you. Thanks, James.
God bless, Susan. Have a nice day.
Bye. Yes. I want to thank you all for tuning in today and being a part of Blog Talk Radio, Prophetic News. And we want you to know that God has wonderful people. We want you to be aware of the wolves that are dressed in sheep's clothing. So we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers, wickedness in high places. But Jesus Christ is Lord. He is a victorious Lord. He is the ruler of the universe. Hallelujah. So no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Jesus. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. He will change your life. He will give you a new life. You can be born again. It is real. It is real. It is a real experience. You will have a new life. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. tell Jesus Christ you're sorry for your sins today. Repent and ask him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, and he will change your life today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.